Welcome back, dear folks, and welcome back, Daniel, again. He's still with me. We are doing two episodes today. You will not notice anything what we do. A very interesting topic today here at Comedy, Luxembourg's finest metal podcast, is we are both, have been growing up in different ways according what music we were listening to. I consider myself, like, as you said, I'm the old guy today, so I'm the OG rock listener who will
go... The young chicken
in that case. So we just want to focus on the fact that, okay, where is the line between rock music and metal music? Or is there a line? Or has, like, does it have to be a line in between somewhere? Or can you just say, I can listen to both things? Or why do certain people have such difficulties listening to metal who only listen to rock, or vice versa? I mean, I've known several people who are a bit on the edge if you talk about rock. For them, it's like, oh, that's way too soft for me, which is agreeable
in some sense. It's definitely too soft for me, yeah. I can agree with that. We are, as human beings, we like to put order in things. We
exactly.
like to categorize things. We like to define
like passionate
things. And especially in metal, we are experts at doing that.
Yes.
I think metal...
Painstakingly even, yeah.
It's almost like neurotic.
Yes.
Because
absolutely.
There's probably no other music genre that is that fussy about categorizing things.
Yep.
I mean, if you just... There's a German YouTuber. He doesn't do metal anymore, but in the past he did. It's called... The Dunkle Parabelritter.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he did one, it was a satirical video. He held boards up, and on each board there was the name of a metal genre and also a band. And that video, and so he just showed the boards,
mm-hmm.
just took one paper away and then the next one, and it got more and more technical, and there were just the weirdest subgenres you could think of. I mean, a progressive funeral doom. I don't know if something like
sounds
that even exists. Sounds great. But anyway, that video was about 30 minutes long. So there's a lot of genres in
all
the
world. Yeah, yeah.
And you don't have that need for classification in any other genre.
It is.
I don't think jazz fans like to do that.
Yeah,
I think just, maybe a little,
but in
metal, it's just crazy. So we actually
look at my hard disk, and honestly, there's the main folder music. Then you have metal with I don't know how many subgenres, and then there's other. So basically,
You need to classify those. You can't just put anything into
the
other.
The thing is, I can't classify like electronic music. I can't, because mostly I don't know the genres, and I'm too lazy
to look for the specification
for it. So I mean, the fact is that we at Comedy, and you surely have encountered several discussions where, oh, metal is way too hard for me. I prefer to stay in the rock or classic rock genre. I know for a fact I've been growing up in a household with a lot of classic rock, 70s, 60s, and all these things. But for me, at one point it just got, I wouldn't say too boring, but something was missing. And that's the whole reason why I was going for the hunt, let's say, for something more accustomed to my taste. And I ended up in the whole metal scene. The thing is, like, even on a pages like Wikipedia, it simply says that rock is a music genre and metal is a subgenre of rock.
That's blasphemy.
It is.
For us, it is.
Yeah, it is blasphemy, because I think there are more genres in metal than in rock, to be fair.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, the way rock music is written, I'm really not a rock expert. I'm the metal inspector, not the rock inspector. And
sounds very cringe, the rock inspector, to be fair.
Sound really weird.
No. We stick with the metal inspector.
Exactly. and rock music is a lot, there's more harmony in it. The time signatures are usually the same. It's a lot 4x4. The drums are much steadier. There's not so much up and downs and pace changes. and the distortion is not as heavy.
Yeah.
The riffs are more melodic, more accessible. In metal, everything is kind of goes wilder in a way.
Yes.
So the guitars are not only is there more distortion, but we play, there's a lot of solos, there's a lot of yeah. arpeggios, there's a lot of melodic harmonies, there's more chord progressions than in rock music. So just the if you, I know, take a band like, if I want to go into something super technical, Animals as Leaders.
Damn.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah, so, yeah.
So just think of the things that these guys are playing, what they do with the guitar. That is, you cannot even...
For me as a guitar player, I
it's the,
sorry.
If you hear Tosin play, that's the best way to stop playing the guitar.
It is,
because
it is.
It's just,
yeah, you just
so,
put it, yeah.
so otherworldly good.
Yeah, yeah, it's...
And so difficult to play.
I think he asks himself the question every morning before he touches his guitar. He's like, what else can I do with this? What has not been done? And how can I torture this device even more?
He needs to add more strings.
I mean, are at eight now. And I have seen some guitars, like maybe you have as well, and you out there too. Like YouTubers that do these crazy custom jobs with like 12 or 24 guitar strings. That's just ridiculous. But let's be honest, I think eight will be the limit for the next few years, to be fair. Because you can't go lower in tuning at one point. There won't be any more sound coming out concerning
our fingers guitar, are not so. That long. So
true. I mean, Tosin's are, but he uses many like different. I don't know. It's just watching only his hands is like making me anxious and nervous at the same time because I don't want to do what he's doing, but I kind of want to. But it's not
you wish you
humanly
could.
Possible to me, at least.
You wish you could, you just don't want to go through the years of torturing yourself to get there. Or
no, I'll stick
or maybe
by
just
six
he has
strings,
a natural talent that he's just gifted.
I mean,
and then combines it with hard work.
It's like, okay, I will go to a different area here, but years back, there was this one guy I followed, a cook, has nothing to do with music, but he was a metalhead himself. Very well-known cook who stopped cooking, and then he had his own television show called Anthony Bourdain. And he said,
okay.
Every few years, every century, there's like one guy who will like throw the whole scene like in a big pot and mix up everything, and you will basically question yourself, how is this possible? Like in cooking, there was Escoffier and Paul Bocuse and all these things, and there was Jimi Hendrix for rock or hard rock or whatever you want to call it. Then there was a Steve Vai who put up the whole the game, or Ingvild Malmsteen, all those virtuosos. And yeah, now there's Tosin Abasi from Animal as Leaders, and even his colleague Javier, I think his name is. I can't do what they do. And now to this day, there's more and more like guys who torture the guitar even crazier than they do. Like Polyphia is a big band now, even though it has probably nothing to do with metal, but it has the same time signatures and style of playing, but you just take away the distortion and you make it sound more intricate, more like a new wave of neoclassical kind of vibe. Just to say that there's so much going on in the metal genre. And as you said it before, and it's quite interesting. Every instrument has a certain thing or a certain amount more than in the rock genre. It's either more intricately played, it's more diverse. So I think it's safe to say in metal, every instrument, including the singer, is important. Whereas in classic, I feel like the main guy in front, obviously, is the singer. What they do in the back is not really...
It's not as relevant.
It's
more about the singer. Okay, you have like exceptions like Jimi Hendrix, where the guitar is the main focus. But yeah, speaking of the drums, so in rock music, it's steady. It's good rhythm. There's a good groove. I'm not criticizing that. It's enjoyable. But in metal, they just try to do crazy things.
Yeah.
In golf, Flesh God Apocalypse.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to be. I once wrote a comment in on the Instagram page of their new drummer Eugene Ryabchenko. It's needless to say that he's extremely skilled, but I wrote on the comments, you have to be a masochist to want to play in Flesh God Apocalypse.
Must be.
And he really enjoyed that comment because said like, yeah, it's probably very true. So you have to be top fit as well to be able to play at that pace. You could mention a slew of other
there are so many
other bands that that have this insane drumming. Now, is it enjoyable? For some people, it is.
Yep.
Other people would think like this is this is too much. It's too fast.
Yeah.
It's too loud. There's no because it goes up and down. Especially in tech def. But we like to have something that's a bit different. We like to.
I would even call it sophisticated.
Yeah, sophisticated sounds so
It is. But
yeah, it is sophisticated.
It is very sophisticated. Even though, like as you said, like we just did recorded an episode just before this one here. We were talking about cattle decapitation, which obviously, as a name, is pretty brutal. The music they do is crazily brutal. But it is sophisticated.
Absolutely, yes. I agree to that. The things that their singer does. I mean, Travis Ryan is one of the best metal vocalists, no doubt about it. His growls are scary. It's definitely one of the best, because really like a beast. It has this cavernous texture in it. But then he does the Gollum voice
as well. Yeah.
And everything in between. And he has such powerful control over his voice, and some people will find like, what the fuck is this? I think at some point I just got to show somebody who doesn't listen to metal at all. Okay, here, let me show you something. I'm gonna put on cattle decapitation. Cattle decapitation. It was like, no, I can't listen to this.
Yeah,
but you cannot deny that it is sophisticated. That it is very difficult to play. That it is very advanced way and very niche way also to make music, whereas most rock is meant for a wider audience.
I think that's the key word.
Don't look for that.
Yeah, it's mostly. I think I don't know how it was back in the days. Obviously, I wasn't born yet when rock came along. It was around the 50s and 60s was the golden age of rock music, where suddenly guitar playing was considered cool and got the women. Nowadays, not really. It's more like you're a nerd and you're a geek, right? So, but luckily we are covered with that. So, I think if I look back to my golden age when I was discovering music on a different wave, that was. I will give you an example, a funny example. We were driving for our summer holidays. My parents and I and my sister, we were driving to Spain. Mm-hmm. My dad brought two CDs for the whole trip, which is like unthinkable nowadays, honestly. I need to switch at least once in 15 minutes, which is basically one prog song, to be fair. So and the CD was Mike Oldfield, Queen Elizabeth II was the record, and Bee Gees. So I tell you...
But they're not bad records.
They're not bad records.
But
not at all.
Repetitive.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I remember I brought a CD player just to be safe. I had only two CDs to go along as well. And it was one from Rhapsody back in the days. I think it was Symphony of Enchanted Lands was the name of it. And one, I can't even remember, but I think it was some Slipknot or early 2000s around there. So, I mean, I could have told my dad, you know what, just put my CD in, you know, just for the fun of it. Mm-hmm. On the highway, you just slam in Slipknot for a guy who only grew up with Kiss and all these things. And then, obviously, this whole change in rhythm, aggressiveness and everything. I get it that some people have really trouble even listening to the whole thing and just even find their way in this maze of noise, because it is not structured many times for people who are not used to listening to, first of all, hard music and secondly, sophisticated music. I'm not saying rock is not sophisticated, but
especially progressive rock is very sophisticated.
It is super sophisticated, progressive rock. So for me, Mike Oldfield is still one of my heroes because he is a super underrated guitarist back in the days. Now he's not doing anything anymore Is he even alive still? I don't know. If you're alive, please let me know, just to be safe. But just the fact, I had this discussion even in school with a friend of mine back in the days. He was like, when I listen to something metal that you listen to, I don't know what to listen to. Because we can do that. We can listen to a song and maybe only focus on the vocals or focus on the guitar or focus on the bass. But many people can't. So for them, it's just like this big mess that is thrown into their ears, and they are so confused because they can't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if it is some, it has something to do with your, obviously with your hearing must be, and your way of life, first of all, and maybe even way of appreciation and finding like details, because mm-hmm. I know for a fact I'm a detailed person. I like to be like very detailed in what I do, no matter what I do, if it's music or mm-hmm. art or whatever. So I think that plays a big role, because again, many metalheads, friends of ours and everything, they are sophisticated people, as you said it earlier. Mm-hmm. So I think those two things go well in hand, in a way. I mean, look at it. A classic rock song, a classic rock band, you don't notice the bass. You don't, for me personally, you don't need the bass. There's no genre where the bass is so sacrificially tortured as, for example, tech death metal or other prog metal as well.
Yeah, if you like the bass guitar, metal is definitely a genre for you. If the production is good, because sometimes you don't hear the bass well.
That is
but
true.
Then, but there are lots of
Metallica. We are talking to you.
I didn't hear that. I don't know. We had like last year, not last year. The year before, we had this band, An Abstract Illusion, progressive mm-hmm. metal, fantastic album, and the bass was really good. I loved the bass because it was just so put in the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to have to listen to good bass grooves, that's an album for you. But it also is very advanced, sophisticated still, in terms of the guitars and the drums and the whole song structure. But you know, speaking of song structure, the song structures in metal is definitely something fairly complex.
Yes,
it's okay. You have, of course, it's more layered mm-hmm. than rock music. Some bands, as I mentioned, like Flesh God Apocalypse, they add a whole symphonic layers to it, and really like that have an orchestral vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And so not only do you get beaten to death by the insane drums.
Yeah, the drums are
you have
nuts.
Very aggressive vocals. You have very fast guitars, very hard riffs, mm-hmm. and then you have this piano and symphony, or this whole strings are put on top of it.
Yeah.
And this is just one band that does it. They're not the only bands that have such an approach. It doesn't have to be symphonic layers; can be any kind of thing. Or you just stick to the usual instruments, guitars, or usually two guitars instead of one, and the bass, the drums, and the vocals. And nonetheless, you can make an up and down, an up and down kind of rhythm, and or you just add things, anything that you can do with the keyboard.
Yeah,
and you can keyboard do so much.
Another example,
like some atmospheric noise, and so there's as I said, the song structure is very complex, and the only other musical genre that has such a complexity would be classical music, which has, of course, a big orchestra. Has strings, so violins, violas, cellos. You have then the clarinets, oboes, mm-hmm. and instruments. I don't know their name.
Yeah, I'm too many to name them all. Basically,
and try to focus on classical music. Try to focus on a Rachmaninoff concert. That is challenging. I think that's for me. That is more challenging than metal.
True, absolutely. I mean,
and that is also classical music is not for a lot of people.
Yeah, I think many, and that we certainly can agree with, many people we know who are absolute metalheads listen to classical music, or at least jazz.
Yeah.
Because I think those three genres of music, one is obviously the OG music. I mean, classical music, there is no, maybe even folk music that goes back a bit more, but nothing was as structured as this, mm-hmm. as classical music. And jazz is obviously somewhat a split off from the whole rock aspect.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it is absolutely related, and we are definitely not saying that rock music is considered bad or we don't like it. It's just that
we don't want to come across as too elitist or so.
Yeah, I don't want to. I mean, it is an elitist approach, to be fair, because
in a way, yeah,
because we just want to promote metal, not as the evil music that your neighbor is doing in the backyard while worshiping Satan. That, I mean,
that still exists.
It is true though.
Because speak about black metal, of course, the stereotypes that people have. We can speak about Cannibal Corpse. That's all. It's just about violence. It's extremely violent, and that's what you get. You have black metal bands that have this blasphemous satanic approach, by all means. But you also have a lot of black metal bands that don't do that. I find it very silly, to be honest. Yeah. This kind of like, I want to be evil. Whatever.
I mean, honestly, those bands who I consider evil have nothing to do with...
No, it's just maybe a show. It's just a show. Yeah. For me, I rather prefer black metal that deals more with the issues of our mind.
Yep, absolutely.
Like take Geria, for example. It's a lot about mental struggles that you go through, because it's very cathartic music. Yep. You just see the guy who performs, he's like, you know, it looks like he's in pain. You know, he expresses his suffering through the music. But what you also have in metal compared to other genres, we don't sugarcoat anything in the lyrics. There is probably no more honest music genre than metal, because we like to focus on the darker sides of life, and there's unfortunately a lot of dark sides life. About
more than we know, and that
way
we
more
can
than
imagine.
We know, and so. And they address these issues, mm-hmm. and they express it with aggressive music, or music that gets under your skin in a way.
Yeah,
music that as I say is equivalent to the extreme emotions that you feel. So like grief. Grief is a very, very tough emotion. And you can express it with music. If you do that with pop music or just groovy, harmonious rock music, it won't work. It just doesn't have the same
It's like a restraint. You will restrain yourself in showing or trying to show your grief, personal grief, or human grief, or all the mistakes humanity did, is easier portrayed with a hard band that goes hard, that plays super hard and aggressive music. Obviously, you open up way easier. And you said it, no one will be as honest as a metal band, because I think it's the most honest genre there is.
We spoke about environments. We can talk about corruption. We can talk about
anything, basically.
You have so many. You have many bands who just talk about political aspects.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a lot of Brazilian metal bands. You know, Brazil has a very soaring metal scene.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They address the issues that they have. Huh?
The
issues related to deforestation, the corruption in the food industry, and so on and so on and on. So there's a lot happening there. And as I said, like, I like my music to be honest. I like it to be in your face. I don't want it to sugarcoat anything, because I don't want to have the illusion. I want to have the reality.
Yeah. And if you don't like it, basically, you can still like turn away and leave and basically go and listen to something else. I mean, if you look at it, you said it, like, Brazil has I think you can consider Brazil or South America like as the melting pot nowadays of a huge wave of metal bands emerging, which for us is a good thing. But the reality is, like you said it, there's a lot of shit happening there. It's usually wherever there's shit going on, and suddenly there are like metal, especially metal bands that appear. Even in Asia nowadays, I'm on the hunt for anything from Asia, because I find it interesting, because they were exposed very late to this kind of genre, and now it's more and more emerging. And if you look at the political situation or anything, it's not looking good. So it's good for us and for anybody who wants to experience an honest opinion, an honest view on either a country, a situation, or whatever. But it's not good for them, basically. And that's quite scary to look at it. Because, again, in rock, I think a lot... Not every band, obviously, but a lot of things are... They have to be mass-friendly, and they need to make money. Which is obviously I think it's not the goal in metal music. Metal music has never been about we need to make a lot of money. We just want to play and say the words we want to. I think that was the OG message of metal itself.
Yeah, yeah, it's like what you would call keeping it true.
Yeah, true. In that way, it certainly is.
It certainly now, of course, is this metal has become a business. It is a business, but it just works differently.
Yeah.
For me, I'm a late bloomer when it comes to metal. Of course, I've always listened to metal, but very occasionally. Mm-hmm. It was like a couple, like 6-7 years ago, that I really started to
inspect the metal scene.
Exactly, it was that, because I have this thing that once I have an interest, I can really lose myself in it, mm-hmm. and I really like that's my passion now.
Yeah.
And at some point, it just felt like, okay, it clicked. It's got to be metal. I'm going to inspect everything there is.
Yeah.
So I have, of course, now, and I've been a lot more exposed to the bands and the albums that have been released in the last couple of years, mm-hmm. and not so much to older stuff. Of course, there have a lot of older albums that I really, really like, but I didn't listen to them because I just didn't know about it
at that time. Yeah, yeah, true.
I mean, so. The way you feel about Opeth is not the way I feel about Opeth. I appreciate the older albums as well, but I wasn't aware of it when they came out.
Yeah.
And but anyway, that's not really the point here. The point is that I've now been exposed to something that is newer, more in sync with the current times, the current mm-hmm. situations that we are in. And so there's a lot more awareness inside the metal scene about the corruption, the political problems, environmental problems, and so much other shit that's going on. Mm-hmm. And so this kind of nostalgic aspect doesn't really exist that much for me.
No, that's, I mean, I get what you mean, because I have when we started this podcast, we had the same. We tried to go back in time and focus on our upbringing in terms of music, and Pit has the same the same background for him. He basically stumbled upon metal because of me at some point, and he was exposed to this huge tidal wave of genres and metal bands that just come crashing down, and either you hold tight or you just let go, because I think metal is you cannot learn I think you is I wouldn't say impossible, but it's difficult to learn and appreciate metal over time. I think if it doesn't click on the first particular point in time where you're just like, okay, this is good, or this is not good. If it's good, you will go deeper into this hole like you did, and then you will lose yourself in all these things. But I think many people either did not find the right time or the right point in time where to listen to metal.
I think you need to have a certain level of curiosity.
Absolutely, yeah.
So
yeah.
You need to have that predisposition to really dive into a certain type of music, mm-hmm. or a certain type of band, or certain types of singers, maybe even. And I have that natural curiosity. A lot of people don't. So they just have certain things that they love, and I'm not judging that or in any way. I mean, more power to everybody.
Yeah.
But for me, I need to have something that I can
take apart,
analyze. And it also feels like it speaks to me. It needs to speak to me. It needs to, because I have no, I don't want to live my life in a way that I want to, as I said before, sugarcoat anything. Mm-hmm. I like to be in the actual reality. I don't want to look away when happen. And so naturally metal would be my music for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. I mean, I agree on that sense, because I mean, for me, who grew up with metal, basically, even though it came around my 15 years or teenage years, somewhere around there. But I think it's the only genre until now that has actually touched certain places in my soul, in my heart, or whatever. that matter. And I think, like, for example, classic rock, rock in general, it is way too commercialized, first of all, to be this deep in themes or in or even ethereal ways to touch a person. Yes, people do get off with pop music. I certainly will not, just because it's not my thing, and it's I don't know. It's really a personal thing, and I think that's a key word. Discovering metal is like your personal journey. Either it will start maybe super early or maybe super late, but if it happens, I think there's no holding back. You will just have to accept to go with the flow. For me, very often I don't listen to metal, but because I'm just oversaturated with all the bands that release non-stop things because they have to survive in a way. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's just like, I need some, just a break, just to hide myself behind the curtain and say, I want to look away now. I want to like live in this perfect world, which is obviously not the case, but I will automatically go back and feel even more, feel more in awe, because it's just so bitter real. And the reality is just hitting you back in the face, like, oh, where have you been? I haven't changed. You maybe have, but I haven't. And I think that aspect is quite interesting.
One thing that really surprised me in metal is that when I decided to say, like, okay, this has piqued my interest, I want to really like dive into the whole genre, look at so many bands, check out this, check out that, I was surprised at how diverse everything is.
Yeah,
not just how many genres there are, but how many interesting people there are behind all these projects, what they are going through, what personal demons they deal with, how they deal with that, how they express all their emotions and the ups and downs of their life, and just how, what fascinated me is how people express themselves in an artistic way, and how many different ways you can do that.
That's
some
true.
Want it super technical and challenging because that's their groove. Others, like which we talked about, had an whole episode about Sylvain, how you can express your emotions in that way, which is a very different, more like ethereal type of music.
Yeah.
Or you can just be all violent and dark, but or you can be very uplifting. Talk about power metal.
Weirdly
not my
uplifting.
Thing. Not my thing at all.
I get
but
it. Yeah.
But you have that, and if you enjoy that, that's great. But just the sheer diversity in metal itself, that is what surprised me the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree on that. I think, like, obviously, for some, let's say, one of you out there who is listening now, and you're like, I'm intrigued now. Where should I start?
Oh,
I mean, there is no real starting point.
Open.
Yes, that's a phase right now, I'm guessing. But
I mean, whispered it.
You could ask. I mean, we could ask each other the question. Let's say every few months, and every few months it will probably be a different answer, because obviously we have our favorites, we have our moments with certain records, but I think it's not about where to start, but it's more like how to start. Basically, don't turn away if there's some local band or whatever playing in your area that you feel, I'm intrigued. Maybe you like it, maybe not, but maybe there's this certain point at concerts, we had it several times before, where you're just amazed on how this band performs. And anyway, concert is always different for sure, but it can pique your interest even more and make you even more intrigued, even though you have probably never heard the band before. So I think it's more like choosing the right time, even though you don't choose it.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's I don't know, it's really like it's either happening or it's not.
Well, if somebody, let's say, came to you and said, like, okay, I've been listening to rock, I've been listening to jazz, I want to get into metal, what would you recommend? Where would they start?
I mean, what we did a few months ago, we did an episode on actually this particular thing, like a newcomer's guide through the metal scene, and we just picked a few records that we would recommend. But honestly, looking back now, and that's like at least 7 months ago, I think, I already disagree with my own list, because it's so such a personal thing.
Yeah.
And it's really always on point. It's not many people, obviously, they go with the big classic bands like Metallica, Iron Maiden, and all these things, which is, don't get me wrong, they are the biggest bands out there. But are they the best bands to start with? For me, I did not start with this. You know, I started with the weirdest mix. I started with Blind Guardian, Rhapsody, and Cradle of Filth, which is like,
yeah,
very,
it's kind of different,
you know, very different, different corners of the room. So I don't know. It's I think it's really a personal, and the momentum has to be there. If you are so interested in maybe even art, you can discover metal through many things, not only like the internet, even though that's the easiest way nowadays. But remember, back in the days, for me at least, it was impossible to listen to metal on the radio or on the internet, because we didn't have internet back in the days. So you had to go to one specific shop. I'm talking about Luxembourg City now, where they were selling metal records.
This is the CD boutique.
Yes.
Yeah.
So basically it was there was one branch of it even in Esch-sur-Alzette that had a shop there from the same owner. So I went to, I did one of the two, and then, yeah, how to look for it. You have a phone. You don't have access to the internet. Is it good? I don't know. Mm-hmm. So if you're lucky, he has the CD there. If it's still packed, he would not open it to give you a listen to. So you would just blindly buy stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Either it clicks or it doesn't. And I honestly miss this nostalgicness of just blindly discovering, out of pure luck, I guess. Very often it was crap. Don't get me wrong. I have many CDs that I don't own anymore. I just gave them either back or sold them off to a friend that at that time, like, okay, this is not for me. I stumbled upon Hammerfall, that, you know. So
not something.
It's just really, it's really personal, I think. And if you have the chance to go to a CD shop or a record shop, if they still exist, which nowadays also is an issue, I think, then just like open up your mind and maybe go for, if you're accustomed to rock, anything rock, I think you can at least make it through one at least progressive metal song, I would say. I think it's the maybe the easiest to get into, I would say.
You say that because you're a prog guy.
Yes, I mean, yeah, I am.
Because when you switch from rock to progressive metal, progressive metal is long song. It has long songs for rock music. The songs
four
are
4 or 5 minutes.
Four
maybe,
5 minutes max.
Max, yeah.
The other ones is like another 10 minutes on top. So or more.
Yeah.
Even Dream 8 minutes is a challenge.
Yeah.
We appreciate that, but that requires focus.
It does.
It requires that natural curiosity.
I think, okay, let's turn it around then. Let's say if you're accustomed to rock, I think you have at least heard of bands like Pink Floyd or
everything which plays
in this area, which is already quite closely connected to progressive metal, because again, very long songs, complex songs, time signatures, all this change a lot in these songs. So I would say,
it sounds like Dream Theater.
I would say in that sense, yeah, you go from Pink Floyd to Dream Theater, even though, yes, I'm going to say it again, I'm not a big fan of the singer, but that's a personal view. But I can listen to Dream Theater without having the vocals, even though Dream Theater is one of the biggest progressive metal bands ever to this day. I would say you stick, you start with progressive metal or maybe heavy metal, Black Sabbath, even though honestly nowadays Black Sabbath are maybe the OG metal, is the OG metal band, but I can't listen to Black Sabbath anymore. I really can't, because it's just too, easy.
Old?
Yeah. Is it old? I mean, yes, it is old for sure.
It is. I mean, the other day I was.
It is not intriguing enough for me anymore.
Well, I was. I usually listen to my music when I walk the dog. So I just got the headphones on and I was listening to technical stuff, progressive stuff. I don't know, different things. It was one of those days I couldn't really focus. But then I thought, like, okay, I'm gonna listen to Black Sabbath. And I was just like, this is so simple. I mean, no disrespect to anybody.
Yeah,
That was the perfect music at that time. Yes. And it really started something. But in comparison to now, it is much more a rock album than it is a metal album for me.
For sure.
Just
for
a bit of a heavier rock album.
For me, I mean, before, I mean, I listened to metal. I listened to Black Sabbath. I was not aware back then that Black Sabbath was the first metal album, apparently, ever. And I always wondered why. So you look into your history books or, again, Wikipedia. I'm not sure if I would agree nowadays, even though I get it why they put it as the first metal album. Or yeah,
they do that. They do that now.
They do that now. But back in the days, it was basically rock, heavier rock.
It was just something that they dared to do something that wasn't acceptable in society.
Exactly.
So it was more like there was this rebellious undertone.
Yes.
And that's something I appreciate, you know, because when you have a rebellious undertone in your music, it means you think outside of the box.
Mm-hmm.
That means you question things.
You question your friends. Yeah, yeah.
And generally, the whole metal scene is kind of based on that, on questioning the norms of society, you know.
Philosophical way of thinking, basically.
Yeah, that's if you take it up another level. But
yeah.
I think at first it was more a rebellious thing. So doing something different that wasn't so acceptable. And but that really has
it didn't age that well, I'm going to say.
Yeah, today it's really just like, okay, it's there. It's for...
It's historical. It is historical because it started something. But it is not necessarily good.
It is not the underlying spirit anymore.
But
nonetheless, it is. When you go to a metal show, and you see how people dress, you are of course in still a little bit outside of the norms of society.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's the reason why.
But that's on the shows, and that's perfectly okay. If that okay for me, I don't dress up. I can't even imagine myself dressing up.
Mm-hmm.
I just wear usually
a band shirt
and jeans, and that's it.
Yeah.
And most people actually look like that.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, but at the time, also the metal scene, like in the 90s, it was a scene when you were a little bit different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you were not fulfilling all the expectations of society, or maybe of your family, and you entered this metal world, and the metal was actually very welcoming.
Yeah, that's true.
And so, like, okay, here you can be who you are.
And who you want to be also.
Yeah, and who you want to be.
Yeah.
And that's a really great thing. So it is a bit of it has this escaping idea.
Yeah, yeah, escaping. Let's call it escaping reality through music, basically. Listening to music, experiencing music.
Or escaping the norms, the expectations, and I kind of can appreciate that, but it has just grown into something of its own.
Yeah, yeah, it has its own way of portraying itself. Obviously, the cliches will always remain; that is for sure. But I think it is safe to say that, and I think that's the main reason why we did this today. Metal is equivalent to rock music, because it has at least as much history in all its subformas and whatever than rock music, and is at least as important. It is obviously very important to us, more important in fact than rock music. But okay, one way or the other, metal would not have emerged without rock music, that's for sure. But I think it is safe to say that.
But rock music needed blues.
True, exactly. So, and if you go back all the way, we would probably end up with classical music or with folk music, because any form of music is a form of expression. I don't know, a medieval guy wandering the town with his 0.85 guitar will probably not be, is not in the norm.
Mm-hmm.
So he will collect money for being a clown or making music, which nowadays is pretty much the same idea still.
I mean,
if you look at it, right?
They still wear face paint.
Huh? Yeah. Most of them do. So I just think that people need to accept the fact that metal has a voice of its own, and has, at least nowadays, in terms of music and in terms of creating it, nothing to do with rock. They are historically linked, like many other genres are, but I think metal stands on its own at the top of a list, and is constantly growing. And that's at least what we can definitely say today.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think on that line we can already stop, because my throat is so dry.
I think we pretty much covered it. It's been a very philosophical discussion.
Yeah. I like these kind of discussions, even though you turn in circles, but that's the idea. No, I think for you out there who have not listened to anything metal, well, if you want a guideline, you know, maybe contact us through Comedia or the metal inspector, Daniel. Maybe he can help you out. We certainly will try our best to do.
You could check out Gillian Pitt's top 10 list,
for example,
or my top 10 list, actually a top 60 list. Just give it a go. If you want something new, just listen to some of this album. If it's for you, great. If it's not, well, then it's not. But it's always worth a try.
If it's not for you, you let us know. And I think until then, we wish you a very jolly day. And until we hear each other again here at Comedy. So thanks for listening. And until next time.
Cheers.